Well, on today's episode, we have Paul Stapleton from Peak Performance, a serial entrepreneur, property investor, and we're going to be talking all things social media. In fact, I'm going to let Paul talk about this. So, Paul, thanks for coming on.
Welcome, mate. Pleasure.
So, I always start these episodes by going right back to the beginning, and I'd like you to introduce who you are and tell me who you are and what's created you into the person you are today.
Cool. So I'll start off who I am today and then we'll go back. So I own a few different businesses. My bread and butter business, if you like, is property, Casita Properties. So we're an off-market buy-to-let selling service. We've got two offices, one in the Northwest, one in London, team of 14, and we cover the whole of the country. So that's really like my bread and butter business. Early last year, I sponsored the Roundtable podcast. That then led to Aaron and I building a business called Peak Performance Events, which is absolutely taking off now. So it's educational networking events with high-profile guest speakers in very untraditional settings. So not your Holiday Inn conference rooms, but just nice, quirky central London spaces with drinks, music, and just like-minded entrepreneurial people. We're launching the Peak Performance podcast as well this year, which is really exciting for us. And I'm also a property and business mentor as well. So that kind of is just an overview of what I'm doing at the moment.
And what's led to you doing what you're currently doing at the minute? What about like your school years? What was that like?
Yeah.
Or even before that, growing up?
You know what? I really enjoyed school. Not necessarily the education, but I just had a laugh. I had a really good time at school. I got the GCSEs that I needed. I think from the age of 13, 14, I worked. So you mentioned Southend off of air, but I started working at Southend and Basildon Market when I was like 13, 14. So yeah. I wouldn't go out Friday night because I'd be picked up at like 4 a.m. We'd drive down there and I'd get like £30 for a whole day's graft. But like that was like graft, and I had got that money, and it was like it meant a lot because I worked hard for it, because it was absolute graft putting together those cold like bars to build a stand and stuff like that, and we would just sell t-shirts and stuff like that. So I started from a young age of working. My dad had a restaurant, so I would work in the restaurant as well, washing up and helping out in the kitchen and stuff like that. So I had a really good work ethic. I didn't really have those teenage years of going out and partying hard all the time. I was in the restaurant, grafting the family business until I was sort of front of house and stuff like that, which I think led me to having the confidence in holding conversations with like older people, building some sales skills, time management, money management, all of those. And then the kind of recession hit, the smoking ban came into place. There was kind of like a huge amount of things thrown at my dad's business all at once. Some big businesses that we relied on coming in moved away, and my dad ended up going bankrupt and nearly losing the family home and everything like that. And I think from a young age I learned some hard life lessons there, and kind of saw everything that happened to my dad and really focused on that never happening to me.
Talk to me about that part of your life.
Yeah, my dad would work all the hours under the sun, and the business was secured secured against the house, and just we would just see the takings going down, and I ended up having to get a second job, which was just doing some freelance sort of stuff. And I could just see the toll it was taking on my dad. He was drinking, he wasn't sleeping, he wasn't eating. It wasn't a good look to see your dad, your parent, the guy you look up to. But I do think everything happens for a reason. Our relationship went really downhill when things went bad. When you're working with family, it's really tough. So our relationship has improved a lot more since not working together and him not having those stresses and stuff like that. But yeah, bad time for me and my family and stuff like that, but it builds you at a young age, it gives you that resilience to kind of, I think, learn from other people's mistakes as well. But I decided from there, I was at college at the same time, that my parents kind of pushed me into at least attempting college. And I went there and I studied graphic design, something I was interested in. After a year, I just thought, this is just crap. I just hated it. I'd self-taught myself anyway. So everything that they were teaching, I already knew the shortcuts to do anyway. And I just thought, there's no point me being here. I know, without sounding arrogant, I knew more than they were teaching or they were willing to teach. So I decided to set up my first business, which was a graphic design business. And I would literally just, in the local area, I would do restaurants, shops, all anything graphic design related, lorries, vans, signage. Did that for about a year and a half and realised there is no real money to be made here. I decided to go into sales. And sales, I got the absolute horn for. I got the buzz for it. Got addicted to reading sales books and going to sales training. Had the luxury of being trained by Jordan Belfort on a 2-day course, which was an experience. People like Brian Tracy, Les Brown, been on their courses, and it was great, really, really good. And I did sales for 5 years, and then I started property.
So I want to get your thoughts on education or as a whole.
Yeah.
So we'll go on to sort of like property education, sales education. Your thoughts on college? What's your thoughts on that, attending college? Because it can be quite a controversial subject.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all for it if it's something that is essential that you get a qualification in order to get the job that you need, like a doctor or something like that. But I'm a true believer that you can learn more as an apprentice or working alongside someone who's successful in business today than you can someone who's been teaching at a university or a college for 20 years and are not teaching you what's being applied in today's world. Mm. So I think a lot of what you're being taught is outdated to a certain way. And I also think you learn more from people's experiences and stuff like that and seeing the good, the bad and the ugly physically than just being taught the good things and the analytics in college and uni.
From a textbook.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like Aaron knows what happened at the back end of last year, but I made the decision last year to take my eldest out of state school and put her into private because I just felt like she was being held back and she could excel a lot more. Seeing what is applied in a private school in comparison to a state school, that they're miles apart, and you can almost see where entrepreneurs are potentially born and why they're born as opposed to 9-to-5 workers. And it's purely what they stand for. So they're teaching money management, innovation, problem solving, how to work as a team. Like, they encourage all of that at a young age as well. Like from early reception, year one, they're encouraging them to show their sort of expression and their artistic side and stuff like that. So yeah, I've taken a step.
And do you think that for anyone that's listening, that obviously should be taught in schools, in my opinion, money management, time management is key to anyone's success. But for people that haven't got the funds to do so, put their kids into private school, or that are thinking about doing it, how can they get their kids into private school?
Well, there are grants and stuff like that, but obviously it's competitive. But I think it's also you've got grammar schools which are just as good. But I think it's also what they're doing outside. So I've got two girls, one's 3, one's 6. My 3-year-old starts the same school in September, and it's the amount of extra activities they do within school. So like they do lunchtime clubs, they do after school clubs, and these are all additional things that even if people go to a state school, you can still book them in to do additional stuff. But I think it's also what you instill with them at a young age. Like, Aaron and I talk all the time that sometimes your parents aren't the best people to teach you life lessons or money management and stuff like that. But there's so much at your fingertips now with regards to podcasts and YouTube and stuff like that, that it's very easy to get them addicted to it at an early age and get them addicted to the right stuff, not being absorbed in TikTok for 2 hours just watching crap.
No, I completely agree. And what lessons, I suppose, the lessons you've learnt from your parents or, say, your dad's situation,
yeah,
you've sort of taken that forward and then tried to not go the same path with your kids.
The thing is, though, as much as you try, sometimes circumstances happen. I was on a podcast last week and I said, like, I'm very open to not being the guy on social media just saying how good it is all the time. Like, I'm not going to lie, you're in property as well. The back end of last year was awful. It was shocking. Like, the amount of deals that I had fall through.
Yeah.
I think we had something like 11 deals fall through. And that was due to down valuations, interest rate changes, and mortgage products being pulled. The last 3 months of last year, I lost £127,000 in commission. That wasn't like potential pipeline. They were deals that were on the verge of exchange completion that we've been working on from the summer. So that hit me hard. That hit me really, really hard. And like you do, you sit there and you contemplate whether or not you want to give up, if it's the right thing to do, should you do something else? But for me, I actually think with it being a new year, you can almost press the reset button and it'd be like new year, new start, let's go again. But I suppose that's the benefit of what we're doing now, where we're having different facets to the businesses. Mm. So we're not relying all on one income stream. But yeah, massively hurt me last year that to end quite a good year as well, because again, Aaron and I had built so much last year. We took the podcast to nearly, are we sitting at nearly 10,000?
Yeah, nearly 10,000.
Yeah, so we were like this time last year, we were just hovering around 1,000, and it took us a really long time to get from 1,000 to 2,000, 2 to 3, and then back end of last year it just blew up. It just grew suddenly from like 6 to nearly 10. So we did that. We set up the events company. We got a business that sponsored the events company that's owned by or co-owned by Alan Sugar. So we did our first 3 events. Like we had a lot of successes to end the year the way I ended it. Yeah, that wasn't the best Christmas present, but new year, new start. We go again and we have to rebuild it.
But what I would ask is, in them situations, I often feel, right, there's good, always good that comes from it.
Yeah, yeah.
You've always got to look at the positives. And it always comes down to your mindset. People always say, well, the self-help stuff, there's so many people out there that do it. But as you are an entrepreneur, you'll always find different ways of creating an income or making an income. But you say it hurt you. How did you overcome it? Obviously, you've created another stream of income, or you can create another stream of income. How did you get over that? Because for me personally, you take it out on the ones closest to you.
You do. And honestly, I'm probably still not over it, because I'm now feeling the after effects. Because as you know, like a pipeline is all pipeline, so that you're getting money in coming every month. So I'm probably still going to have the repercussions of that for the next 2 months. And the next 2 months for me, financially for the business, will be tight. And the worst thing is that's coincided with the start of this new step I've taken with my kids and private education and stuff like that. So my earnings have gone down, but my expenses have gone up monthly. So again, that adds another level of pressure. But I think it's all about what we discuss all the time on the podcast and at the events, is just building that positive circle around you. So that, look, when I'm having a really crap day, I'll just give Aaron an ear bashing and he'll be my punching bag for the day. And likewise with Aaron, I'll be his guy that he'll come and talk to, and we just kind of, we get each other. And I think a lot of people are under the impression we went to school together, but we've only known each other since February, March last year.
Yeah, Paul's much older than me.
Insecurity. I think it's just having that positive circle around you that are in the same field and that get it and that maybe experienced it as well. And I think being honest with yourself as well, I put out a post when all this was going on LinkedIn, just saying bit of a shit time really and struggling to deal with it and all of this. And it's not really the kind of thing that you can go talk to your mum and dad or your wife about, because they just, they wouldn't get it and they'd want the security aspect of it. They'd be like, you need to get you need a guaranteed income. But talking to people that are on the same journey as you, they're just like, it doesn't last forever. You just got to get over it. Pick up a good book, go and smash it out at the gym for an hour, whatever it might be. You're getting the words of advice that you need to get over that, as opposed to the cuddles that your family will give you that maybe you don't need. You need that rocket up your ass and that slap round the face to say, just wake up, you got it. Just go again.
Mm. I think it's important for everyone to realise it is okay to take some time off as well, like you said, you've done, but you've got to press the restart button and go, now's the time to flip that switch and start, now go again.
Yeah.
Because if you sit back for too long, you're fucked.
Yeah. It's very easy to say, you know what, I just want to stay in bed today.
Yeah.
Like, there's been those days that you think, I can't concentrate on anything else but this. But the thing is, the more you focus on debt, the more debt you attract. The more you focus on money, the more money you attract. It's you attract whatever you put out there. So I just think you have to. I listened to something a little while back, and it said, like, if you're pissed off with something, be pissed off with it for 5 minutes and then get over it, because being pissed off any longer isn't going to change it. So be pissed off, get it out your system, and then crack on with how you're going to provide a solution to that. And if you can't, move on. Just get over it.
I want to talk about what sort of drives you to do what you do. Because I'm still intrigued. I know you started off, you went to the markets in Southend and Basildon.
There's
always, from what I can see and what I can from hear from you, a determination to, or willingness to earn money.
Yeah.
To create other streams of income. I can see it on your social media platforms. Where does the drive come from?
I owe all my success to Aaron. Yeah.
Before Aaron.
Oh, right. Before Aaron. Right. Yeah. no, I think, I just think, like, I've always been that guy who, I'm not interested in reality TV. I'm not interested in people's profiles where they're posting next to Lamborghinis. I'm only interested in motivation, entrepreneurship and stuff like that. And I think I've always been obsessed with that. And just from a young age, I would go to the Excel Centre and I'd be sitting there watching the Dragons do live talks on stage, or be obsessed with, like, reading Alan Sugar's book and stuff like that. So I've always wanted to be successful in whatever I do. For me, success, money's a big part of it, because money is part of why we do it, because we want to have a good lifestyle and we want to increase the experiences that we can have in life. And then money buys us more time to spend with our family and loved ones and friends. But I think having something that will create, like, a legacy, I think, and whether that legacy is a business that I sell on, or that I've got two girls, so if it was something they took over, I think having something that you can create that will be there long after you're gone, even if it's a podcast that blows up and everyone listens to it when they're having a crap time, or it's that event that people came to and just said, that is what changed my life. I have a book that I've read that changed my life. So if our legacy can be that we've helped someone turn their life around, or it could be anything in property or anything like that, I think it's what you build now and how that carries on after you're gone. But my kids are obviously one of my biggest drives. Like, as I said, now I've got another big drive that I'm putting them through education now for the next sort of 12-15 years, whether they go on to further education or whatever they do. So that's a massive driving force now to earn that additional income. So I perform best under pressure. So
is that not dangerous?
In what respect?
To try and perform best when under pressure. Is that, can you not make mistakes when doing that?
You can, but I think the biggest mistake you can make is being comfortable.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree.
Because when you're comfortable, you're complacent. So it keeps me on my toes. It keeps me guessing. I think when we worked in the restaurant, how I see it is when we weren't busy, when we only had a few tables, I wasn't on my game and I would make mistakes. I'd get wrong orders or I'd give the wrong bill. But when I had a full restaurant and there were hardly any staff there and I was on my own and I had to graft, I'd get the biggest tip jar at the end of the night that I would have. So again, I think I owe a lot to my experiences at a young age working there and being able to multitask and problem solve and think on the go and stuff like that. So I just think, again, instilled from a young age.
I thought you were going to give me the tip analogy then with a mint. One mint, two mint, three.
No. But I think from a young age, it was just instilled that, like, you work best under pressure. Like, and that's how I perform under pressure. And when I say pressure, I don't mean like financial pressure, because that's not good for anyone. Like, the last 3 months of last year, just every day getting another problem that we couldn't overcome and deals falling through. Like, I'll be honest, I wasn't proactive then. I wasn't building my pipeline ahead for this month to counteract the losses. I was almost like burying my head in the sand a little bit. So when I say pressure, I mean like healthy pressure and stuff like that.
I think the most important thing that's recognisable that you've done is you've created the pillars to success. Like, you've got, for example, your financial, say security, but you've got the financial stability and you've got, say, property, you've got the education, you've created education through sales, you've got the podcast, you've got a platform there where you can surround yourself with the right people, and you can go, right, if I need to call on such a person for whatever experience, we can call upon them because we've created a platform in which I can leverage their experience. So that, to me, is invaluable.
The podcast for me, and I'm sure it is for Aaron as well, it's almost like that one day a month that we can go and invest in our personal development.
Absolutely.
Because these people that we get on there, they're not people that you'd ever meet in the street. And even if you did, the information that they give us and how they open up, like, you can't get that. And I think, like, yes, you can get it on YouTube after, but what you don't get is what happens before and after. And 9 times out of 10, the conversations we have before the cameras start rolling, we always go, oh God, I wish I was recording that. Like, that was a podcast moment. So, and then it's what happens after that as well. Like, some of the podcast guests that we've had on, as I said, we've gone on to get the sponsorship for the event with Alan Sugar. We've gone on to have certain guests on our podcast and then have them at our events. We've gone into business on and projects with people and other things as well. So it opens a lot of doors. And I look at it and I think the money that we spend on the podcast, people would spend on sponsored ads, Facebook ads, boosting Instagram ads. And the return on investment probably is nowhere near what we get out of a podcast.
What's your thoughts on social media? Especially because you've got kids. I'm interested to hear about that.
So the only social media I had this time last year was LinkedIn. And that was because I just wanted social media to be a platform that I ran business on. As I said, I'm not interested in the shiny Dubai lifestyle, not interested in reality TV or anything like that. So if I scroll through my Instagram right now, half of them are either going to be friends, or they're going to, like, business friends, or they're going to be motivational quotes and stuff like that. I built a big following on LinkedIn, just over 26,500 followers, and it's generated hundreds of thousands of pounds in business for me. And not too many people knew about me this time last year. And then we started the podcast, and Aaron said, why don't you just get on Instagram? Like, and I just thought, I'll give it a go. And you know what? It's got me out there. It's got my brand out there to an audience that aren't on LinkedIn, for instance, which is great. Has it generated me any business? Not business as such. It's generated me some contacts, But business, hard cash, vendors, investors, it hasn't. Has TikTok? No, it hasn't. Has LinkedIn? 100% it has. And it still does. Generates me direct to vendor leads all the time. With regards to the bad side of it, I think, yeah, it's quite easy to get consumed and lose 2 hours of your life watching other people's lifestyles and comparing yourself to them and always looking at what you haven't got as opposed to being grateful for what you do have. So I try and avoid all of that. But for my two little girls growing up, yeah, I mean, I'm worried about. Yes, I look at my two little girls now. They're almost like 15-year-olds at the age of 3 and 6. So God knows what it's going to be like when they're older.
That's what I'm concerned, because mine are 8, mine's turning 6 in Feb. And obviously, I've got a sort of 6-month-old now, so I ain't got to worry about him just yet. But yeah, I am concerned about the social media.
I don't know if you've got to worry about the boys. They're not going to be doing pouty pictures, are they?
I'll teach them the right
way. Aaron does, actually.
He's got the looks, mate. We ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Each to their own.
No. But, for anyone listening on the social media front, you've absolutely blown up, like you say, in the last year. But it's not through just posting one picture a week, or you've created a real brand there.
Yeah, it's consistency. Yeah. It is. And I'm still learning on the social media element. And also it's time as well, because you can employ people to do it, but I'm more kind of ad hoc than planned content. So like today, I can't plan what I'm going to post today from our interview or anything like that. So I'll have gaps. I'll have like 3-4 day gaps and stuff like that. But I'll just post. I think I'd rather post quality than quantity. So if I don't have anything to post today, I'd rather just not post.
Yeah.
But with the podcast and the events and all the other things that we're doing now, we've got some new sponsors that are sponsoring some new stuff that we're doing with Peak Performance. There's more content and more professional content coming out this year. So it'll be interesting to see what this year brings for both the brands.
Talk me through Peak Performance then.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about it.
So obviously I said to you, like, prior to doing the podcast, I wasn't on socials. Like, forget LinkedIn. I wasn't on socials. And I went to a property networking event and a couple of people recognized the logo because they'd seen it on the podcast, and we got talking, and they just said, oh, we love the podcast, we really enjoy it, but like 20-25 minutes just doesn't seem like enough. And then half of that, obviously Aaron's talking, the other half they're talking. And then we just both kind of said at the same time, what do you think about creating like a live event? And bearing in mind, I only started sponsoring the podcast in February, and we did our first event April.
Yeah, we moved quick.
Yeah. So by April, we'd organised our first event and held it. And we had some really good speakers. We had sponsors. Didn't cost us a penny. We gained sponsorship straight away. We had just over 70 people for our first event, which wasn't too bad. And it was a massive success. And what we wanted out of it was what people get from the podcast, which was you learn from it, you get motivated from it, it helps change your mindset, and it's a great networking opportunity for the people that appear on the podcast to then build a new audience as well. So we've always been big fans that, like, on the podcasts and the events, we never pay anyone. So all of our guests, no matter how high profile they are, what we don't want it to be is a financial transaction where they come to the event at 5 to 8, they're on stage at 8, they perform for half an hour, and then they collect their check and they go. We want people that genuinely want to be there and help the next generation of entrepreneurs. So they're going to come, they see the value in being there, they network, they're there for the whole night. They're there from like 6 till 10. Picture opportunities, conversations, business with them as well. They see the bigger picture. So,
and this is not a plug, but bearing in mind this hasn't been going very long, and I know some of the people, but for anyone listening who thinks it's too hard to start a business, you should get started now, because this is only taken just over a year.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on our fourth less. Event? Fifth? Fourth? Yeah, less really. Yeah, April for the events company.
Less than a year, but just name some of the people you've had on.
So we've
on a podcast
had,
and your events.
Well, the event, we've had Tyrone Ash, we've had Mark Wright, who won The Apprentice, Pete Comalafe, Andrew Craig, to name a few. The next one, we've got Benji Leslie, who's probably one of the biggest influencer management companies in the UK, manages some huge talent. Luke Vernon, over 2 million views. Podcast, I mean, like, start of the year, we started as we mean to go, and we probably had the biggest social media star there is. We had Julius Dean, over 45 billion views in less than 24 months, making powerful. Hundreds of thousands of pounds a day from his content. Content houses in Mexico and Dubai with teams of 30 people, so huge, performing for Drake, Post Malone, Logan Paul, like crazy big people. We've had Apprentice winners, people appeared on Dragon's Den, so peak is it's gonna blow, whether it's this year or whether it's next year. The consensus is that there's nothing else like it out there, which is a bold statement, but we've been to a lot of events. We've seen what works. We've seen what doesn't. We've held three events. We've had some stuff that's worked. We've had some stuff that doesn't, and we learn from it, and we make sure that we don't do it the next time. We've really played with it on the first three. This fourth event, for me, is going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one because it's going to be what we see as the best from the last three events. And I think from the fifth one on, it's just going to go up, up, and up, and up. But typically, 200 entrepreneurs in one room learning from people at the top of their game and networking in the most amazing environment in central London with music and drink.
And this is a plug now. Where can people find out about it?
peakperformanceevents.co.uk, Peak Performance on Eventbrite, Peak Performance on Instagram, we're everywhere, on TikTok, LinkedIn.
Perfect. When's that again?
2nd of February.
2nd of Feb.
2nd of Feb.
Right, so you know where to go and find it. And yep. So 2nd of Feb, I'm going to be there.
Wicked.
And I'll be sending some invites out as well. I already have. And on the 2nd of Feb, have you got any guests that you can reveal?
Yeah, so we've got... So Tyrone Ash is going to be talking about how... So the kind of topic of this is all about monetizing social media, building your brand and your personal brand, and how to sell products on there. So for anyone
that's important now.
Yeah, I think in 2023, anyone that's looking to build a business or expand their business by utilizing social media, just come and learn from the best. So Tyrone Ash, who's built a huge empire on selling luxury real estate around the country purely on social media, what a guy to come and talk. And then we've got Luke Vernon, who quite quickly went from 0 to 2 million followers on TikTok, with brand deals from the likes of Adidas and Nike and people like that. So great person to talk to. And then Benji Leslie talking about how to attract brands if that's what you want, if you want to be an influencer in the influencer space. And just giving some real advice on the industry to people. We're going to have interactive Q&A sessions as well, so you can pose your questions to them.
Perfectly. What would you say? Because you've spoken to a lot of people. You've been around a lot of influential people. What would you say is the biggest piece of, or best piece of advice you've received?
Consistency. Be humble. Be true to yourself. Be unique. And I think just keep on doing what you're doing through the good times and the bad times. Just don't give up. I think it's just all of that into one is probably what I apply every day anyway that I'm taking from people. And as I said, all these things that we do, the podcast, the event, as much as we're putting it on for other people, I think what Aaron and I get out of both of these is pretty high as well. Really high.
Perfect, mate. I want to do a part two, if you'd be happy to come back.
Yeah, definitely.
Always wrap the podcast up with just a final question, and that is just a simple one, is, are you okay?
Today, yeah, think I'm okay. I'm okay to them. I'm still alive. So yeah, I'm okay.
Appreciate it, mate. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.